Appreciate the good song leading and the songs that were chosen. It surely fits into what we're going to be talking about tonight. It's good to be back with you this evening, those I didn't have a chance to meet. And looking forward to meeting you after service and get to know you a little bit more, too. Looking forward to the week. It's been great. You've received me with open arms, and I appreciate that. I love you all so much, and I'm looking forward to our time together this week. I just want to continue to build on from what we talked about this morning, how that, you know, the good news about the good news, and then we followed that up with talking about, well, why is it that everybody doesn't like the good news, and you know, how we shouldn't grow discouraged, and try to be a little understanding where people are coming from, because of course they're not going to be that happy when we bring people out of false doctrine, and of course, when we expose error, they take it personally. We need to understand that. How can they not take it personally? I will encourage you to open up your Bibles to Acts, the 20th chapter. In just a few moments, I'm going to read from there. But I would like to go back a little bit. The song we just sang, the reading that was brought to our attention, and how it ties into our subject tonight. But one of the cool things in that reading in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, is when it mentions here, in verses 1 through 3, and I'll pick it up in verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And how you go about that, you continue to read on. I can't help but couple what we just read with the passage over in Acts chapter 20. There's a lot of subjects I like to talk about, but I got to tell you, talking about the church, I love to do. I value the church. And you can see that come across in our reading here when Paul sends for the elders at Ephesus. You can't help but be moved with the words that Paul offered and his great concern that he had for the brethren. So let me just share with you, it wasn't part of my outline, but it's helped me think about this as we were singing these songs and thinking about the church and let me just begin reading in verse 17. It said, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. And from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples to themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend to you God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." And then he talked about, I coveted no one's gold, but he went on to say in verse 36, "And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them, and they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him." Folks, we have to value the church of our Lord. It's blood bought. I mean, you know, when Jesus comes onto the scene, he's talking about the kingdom that was to come. You know, on that night, and he talked about instituting the Lord's Supper, "I'm not going to drink it new until in my Father's kingdom." That kingdom that we're a part of, the church, they're terms that are used synonymously. You know, how that we, when we obey the gospel, we're translated, we're put into the kingdom of his dear Son. And we ought never, ever be ashamed of that. You know, it was years ago, I was preaching in a congregation, and the door was being knocked on late at night, and I got down, and one of the congregations nearby was having a gospel meeting. They didn't have a baptistry. And they said, Chuck, there's a lady that's come forward and wanted to become a Christian, and we wondered if we could use the baptistry. Well, of course. So I go over there, and they're getting things all ready, and the visiting preacher and the preacher were talking to the young lady there, and we had a big whiteboard there, and they're just giving her some additional teaching while the baptistry was getting ready. And I was listening to them talking. Man, they're just spot on, you know, educating her about, you know, what the scriptures have to say. And then they said, well, Chuck, we got a couple. Is there anything that you would like to say? And I said, yeah, I just want one little thing. I just wanted to bring up the fact that, you know what, when you become a Christian, when you rise up a newness of life, the Lord is going to add you to His body, the church that He purchased with His own blood, your family of God. When it was all done and the lady went home, that preacher, visiting preacher, chewed me out. Why in the world did you bring up the church? She'll learn that later on. To do? Convert people and say, oh, by the way, I don't want you to know this, but you're a member of the Church of Christ. Jesus said, I am going to build my special people. We're not ashamed of that. It's not mine, it's His. Right? This isn't the church's church. So I don't call it the Christian church. You know, when you think about the word church means the called out, right? And so when we talk about that God's special people, and if it's going to call it the Christian church, we're talking, well, the Christians, Christians. This church belongs to the Lord. And we read about the sacrifice, and Paul is talking to the brethren at Ephesus, you know, you watch out for their souls, you elders. We have that responsibility, and we look out for one another. We don't take it lightly. This is my family. You know, and I got to tell you, you know, it's one thing about my family, you know, not members of the church or anything, but you know, when you get together with my family, man, they like to talk about one another. But I'll tell you what, if an outsider talks about them, they're like, hey, what are you doing? That's my family you're talking about there. I mean, they want to stand up for their family. But I'm going to tell you something. We value our brothers and sisters. We stand up for one another. And as we read through the scriptures, it became apparent to all of us, if you just start in Acts and read right through the rest of the New Testament, and you read about the local congregations that existed, yeah, you'll read about some of the struggles they had and how letters were written to them to correct them of the errors of their way, but it doesn't take you long to realize that there are four things that stand out that need to exist in every local congregation. Now, you might say, well, Chuck, I came up with another one. Well, that would be good. I'll make it a five-point sermon the next time. But chances are, some of the points that you might remember probably are going to fall underneath the categories of one of the four. So what's one of the first things? And we talked about this morning, so I won't spend as much time. But I'm not going to pass over this point. Because that was part of the Ephesians 4 passage. One of the things that is apparent that's a part of the pattern of the New Testament church is having sound teaching. I mean, that's what we're talking about. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I try to impress upon the brethren back home, because we have invitations on Wednesday nights. And I'm trying to impress upon the brethren that, you know, we start out with the Word of God. Because, you know what, there are a lot of stories that people might have, and then they'll go to the Bible to see if we can make an application. You better go with the Word of God. And then if you have an illustration, that's fine. I don't mind stories. I've shared some with you. But the basis of our teaching is right here. We know that. It has to be. You want to go to a place where they're going to teach sound doctrine. Let's take a little trip through Timothy, if you would. Let's go over to Timothy. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if we pick it up in verse 8, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinner, for the unholy, the profane, for the murderers, for the father of fathers, the murderers of mothers, manslayers. for fornicators, sodomites, the kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. That was our morning class, the good news about the good news. And it has been delivered. Yeah, I know there's a lot of negative in the sense where people had fallen away, but you know what? You can't fall away from a place you've never been. And so people can know it. People have received it. I know Paul told Timothy, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look what it says. Now the Spirit especially says in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, and continues on. You know, there's going to be people that will depart from it. Well, what? Did they have it at one time? Yes. Well, how could they have that? Well, because there was sound teaching. There was sound teaching. You know, you think of 2 Timothy. We quote this one a lot, and I've actually got this on my plate to preach when I get back home. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you need to ask yourself this important question. When it says here in verse 2 and 3, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And the thing I'm going to be putting together in that sermon, I haven't preached it yet, but I'm going to tell the brethren, I want you to think about that. What's going to happen? He's telling Timothy, what's going to happen for them, or for you, Timothy, when they want to heap for themselves teachers having itching ears? It goes on to say they're going to turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. One of two things. They're going to go away and not listen to you, or they're going to pull you out of the pulpit. You just need to be prepared for that. And so that shouldn't surprise us. But what we are going to do here, what you guys have continued to do, is provide that sound doctrine, that it's not, we're not adding to it, we're not taking away from it. And that's why, as Bob mentioned, you've got a question, bring it to our attention. You know, it might be new to you. You might even observe some of the things that we've done here and say, or you've noticed what we haven't done. You go, you know, I've been at other places, I've noticed you guys don't do this. That's a good question. No such thing as a bad question if you really want to know the answer. And we encourage you to do that. But as we often say, every Bible question deserves a Bible answer, and we want to handle the Word of God properly. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, I like this. He says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. We have to put forth that effort. And so I realize the great responsibility I have. You know, I've been invited here, but I know full well before I even came here what the elders wanted, what you brethren wanted. Chuck, look, just come and preach the truth. Preach the Word of God. Preach the gospel. That's what we want to hear. You know, put Christ out in the forefront. It's not about me, and you know that. It's not about Tony. It's about our Lord. Let me just share one more passage with you before we get on to the next one. I said I wasn't going to spend a lot of time, and here I have, because it is important. But I also wanted to mention the one over in Titus, in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. You know, I know he's talking about elders here, but it's all part of the idea, the qualification. He says in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by what? Sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. So we understand how important it is for this congregation, the pattern through the scriptures, and that's why you have the letters that are even written. If it's not a big deal, why even write the letters? Well, because teaching is important. And this congregation wants to provide that. Well, I made a separate point with this next one. It's kind of an overlap, but it's separate. In Ephesians chapter 4, no, we read the first part. I'm moving down further in the chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. There's another thing that becomes apparent as you read through the New Testament of the four things that need to exist within a faithful congregation. There needs to be sound teaching. Secondly, the local church has to provide edification for its members. It's necessary. Ephesians chapter 4, notice this in verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. You know, the whole point is, we want people here to be strong, every member to be strong. They need to be built up. You need to be edified. Now, please understand what I'm about to say. You know it's necessary for us to worship God. Right? John 4:24, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But I've told brethren back home, I've said, if you're going to pick between Bible study and worship, come to Bible study. But you know I'm telling you not to miss worship. But I'm just trying to emphasize, you really need the Bible. That Bible study, you know, here I am preaching to you. And like one time I was at a place and a person puts up their hand and I'm preaching, I'm going in. And I'll get to your question after the services tonight, you know, because we're just trying to do things decently in order. But you can do things decently in order in a Bible class. But in a Bible class, man, you talk about people asking questions, making comments. It's such a rich time. And we just value that time. I value the Bible study time. Yes, personally. But the local congregation has provided opportunities for you to be grown. What do you think this gospel meeting's all about? Yes, reaching the lost is important. I get that. And lessons are designed for all walks. People who have never entered the doors might have visitors like that. You may have people who are new converts, maybe some members who are weaker, those who are older in the faith. You need lessons for all those people because we want everybody to be gaining from the gospel meeting. But the whole point is providing edification, your Wednesday night class, you get your classes for the kids and so on. It's so important. Now, I do know what you do on an individual basis is important. I know you study at home. You have your own Bible study habits. That's great. That's wonderful. But one thing you learn within the local church is that they provide opportunities for the brethren to be edified, to be built up. You need that. I need that. And that's what we're doing even here this evening. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he talks about this when he talked to the brethren at Thessalonica. He mentions in verse 11, for example, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. You know, the whole idea is each other. Do you understand that? How you can be a help to others. See where you play a role in this. When the brother came up to me and asked about a reading tonight, I said, well, here's a passage. And then I thought, well, no, maybe you want a little bit more to read. And so I gave him the passage in Ephesians 4. But the first passage I gave him, I said, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I like what he talks about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he mentions in verse 12. Easy to remember. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We've all been made to drink in that one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Now, I understand that there's this universal body of Christ, but the Lord designed the local church. You say, well, did he have to do that? Well, we could have worshipped in our own homes once we became Christians, not having to assemble and come together. But do you see the wisdom of this? Do you see the wisdom of our Lord? Because he wants us to get stronger. He wants us to help each other. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 7. And I'm just going to read 7 and 8 where he says, do not look at the things according to the outward appearance. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For even if I should boast somewhat more of the authority which the Lord gave us for edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed. There is a purpose. There is something that Paul understood that he needed to do. Just like you and I, there is a role to be played. And of course, to me, that relates to 2 Corinthians 13:10, what he just talked about there, when he said in verse 10, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. Paul had a goal in mind with the letters that were being written. with the sermons that are being taught. It's not to put you down, to belittle. It's not to puff ourselves up as teachers. We want you guys, our brothers and sisters, to be strong, to be built up. And that's what the word edify means. And the local church is responsible for doing that. Developing abilities, providing opportunities for you to teach, song lead, lead public prayers, become elders and deacons, evangelists. You know, you look out in the audience and say, well, you know, what are the, are we got some future preachers here? We got some future elders here? Well, you don't wake up one day and, oh, I'm an elder, or I'm unqualified. You work towards that thing. Towards that. And that's what we do as a congregation. You talk about those things. And I try to do that with younger. You know, I haven't been around a lot, but I, you know, if I'm around you during the week and I've seen some younger guys here, you know, if I'm visiting with you, you know what the first word's going to come out of my mouth? So have you given a short talk yet? That's what I do. Have you done a sermon yet? Well, Chuck, I've only been a Christian. Listen, man, when I first became a Christian, there was like 95% of them were like 75 and older. Not that that's old, but the point is, there just wasn't a lot of, you know, me and this other girl who I was dating at the time, we were the young people. And so it's like you became a Christian next week, you're waiting on the table. And then you're trying to lead songs. You just jump in, right? You just jump in and do it. And that's how you grow, folks. The church is here, is providing those opportunities. And it's nice when you have elders, when you go up to the elders, hey, can you use me in this? They're like, well, that's great. That's better than for us trying to coax you to do stuff. When you come up and say, you know, and I loved it back home when a brother comes up and says, hey, Chuck, I heard you're going out of town. You want me to preach? Thank you. You know, because usually it's the email on Monday mornings. I give a Monday morning shot in the arm to all the members about what's been going on, the visitors, the studies that are going on. But and I'll say, does anybody want to preach? Let me know. And I'm trying to coax them. But I tell you, when people step it up, doesn't that just make you feel good? But that's what this local church does. They provide those opportunities. I got to get going. Can he talk any faster? Well, I've been in congregations where some sisters have come up and said, can you just slow it down a little bit? And I said, well, get the tape and just turn it down slower. Okay, next point. Third point. What this local congregation, it's a pattern. I didn't dream this stuff up. I just read through the New Testament and go, well, yeah. Well, that's right, sound doctrine. That's there. Edify the members, providing those opportunities. And thirdly, keep the church pure. Keep it pure. Ephesians chapter 5. Sound like I'm from Alabama. 5. Canada, it's 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's pick it up in verse 20. 23 we'll start. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and also the Savior of the body. Look at verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I understand that I'm not perfect. But the blood-bought church is to be the way the Lord wants it to be, and there's no allowances. We made reference to this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, Paul says you're puffed up, and you should have been mourning over this. Any brother or sister, I mean, when I have family members tell me, Dad, actually a friend. I've had family members talk about it too in the other places they've been at. But I picked up a guy who was a member of the church, but he drives an hour to church, and I was going to a gospel meeting that was an hour beyond that. So I just called him up and said, hey, do you want to come with me? And I picked him up at his house. He's not a member where I'm at, but another congregation. But he was telling me that he was a part of a congregation. He couldn't go there anymore because there were affairs going on in the congregation, and everybody knew it, and nobody was doing anything about it. I can't imagine, I can't put my brain around that. Brethren, if you know something's going on around here, you need to say something. Why? Well, for the sake of the individual, because you want to save them, right? You want them to go to heaven. But for the sake of keeping the local congregation pure, of not tolerating anything that's going to bring a blemish upon the body of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, this church is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. Absolutely. And we're not ashamed. We're not ashamed to stand up. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and this, I can't preach on all this stuff right now. Matter of fact, I'm about to read a passage of Scripture that a younger brother taught the class this morning on this section that I didn't get a chance to finish last Sunday morning. And I've been texting today and finding out with a number of people that I need to have more classes on this because they even have more questions. And I wish I'd been there to finish it. But we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And this is where it says in verse 13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." You know, that's the 1 Corinthians chapter 5 passage, you know. Don't associate with anybody that's named a brother that's doing these things that are wrong. He said, I didn't say anybody, just anybody, because then you'd have to leave this world. But anybody that's named a brother, you're not even to eat with them. And they needed to understand what that really means. He's not saying, okay, you don't eat with them, but what, you fish with them? You bowl with them? You golf with them? You're missing the point. What Paul's wanting them to understand is that when you're around somebody, I'll go to somebody, I'll do anything they want to, but while I'm with them, I am not shutting up about, you know what, you need to get back, you need to do what's right, you're in sin, and I want to help you, and I want to stay. They're not going to want to do anything with me if that's all I'm going to talk about. Some of them want to use this clause. Some of them will say, Chuck, you got 5 minutes. Get it out of your system right now. Tell me all that I need to do, and then we'll go watch the Cubs play. You know, and we won't bring it up anymore. I'm not doing that. My job is to make you feel ashamed for what you've done. Why? Because we want to keep the church pure. We're going to do these things, and they're not easy to do. I understand that. I don't know if the chap in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I don't know if he was their best song leader. I don't know if he was a great speaker. I was at a congregation one time, and man, I got some scars to prove that one. But I remember years ago, I was a young preacher. And I remember that we were discussing a business meeting, but you know, I'm going to be going out of town, going for a meeting. And then somebody said, well, let's bring Brother So-and-so in to preach. I says, he doesn't even attend here anymore. And he goes, yeah, but he's a good speaker. He'd become unfaithful. I think, what are we doing here? This congregation is going to do everything that it can. No, we're not putting out private investigators. Bob and Jim and I want to say Bernard. I keep looking at the name. I said, it looks like Bernard. They're not hiring out private investigators. You know, we give one another the benefit of the doubt that you're living faithfully, that you're a good husband, that you're a good wife. He's trusted that. Now, but if something comes to their attention, if something comes to your attention, you want to deal with it. And that's what we find in the New Testament, that the church does everything that it can to keep the blood-bought church of our Lord pure. And there's been some big prices that had to be paid for that over the years in churches. Because you almost can be like a troublemaker. All right. This was usually my wind-down time, so okay. This is a big one, and I don't have near the time because when you read through the Scriptures, local congregations that are faithful, they spread the gospel. They're interested in evangelism. I mean, they want to save as many souls as they can. They're getting the word out. They're just not trying to keep it a secret. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I know that was the individuals, but you know, laborers are few. Luke 10 and verse 2. Timothy wasn't the only one that was apt to teach, but you know, you got in 2 Timothy, I just got to go over there quickly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says in verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, so they'll be able to teach others also." Over the years, it's the main brethren have just been able to say, "Chuck, I've got a friend. Can we study?" "Yes, yes, we'll do that." You know, you go up to Tony. "Tony, you want to study?" And that reminds me, I forgot to bring that up with the edification. You need some strength? He said, well, you know, I know there's Sunday and Wednesdays. I could use some more. You think if you went up to Tony and said, hey, Tony, could I have an hour a week of study anytime? Because I just need to study some more. Do you think he's going to say, hey, man, you got Sunday mornings and Wednesdays. That's it. That's what you get here. You know, and sometimes that happens when with new converts. They're kind of weak. And somebody will say, Chuck, we better have to discipline that person. What are you talking about, man? I'm going to set a Bible study up with them and help them to get stronger. You don't baptize somebody and say, hey, see you Wednesday. Well, where is he? You know, he should have been here Sunday morning. Look, people need to grow and get stronger. I get that. And we need to do all that we can. And in this area of spreading the gospel, man, we as God's people are... We got to be thinking of ways. We're always trying to think of ways to reach people with the gospel, aren't we? Yeah, we're doing TV and we got the radio and we're mailing out the bulletins. You know, we're just trying to think. You know, we have a visitor, we put them on the mailing list. We got all different families, members who, you know, some are mailing out 4, some are mailing out 5, and we give them the envelopes with the addresses. So they take a bulletin every 2 weeks, they stuff it, and they mail it. You know, we got Bernice who's a member. She called me up a year ago. Bernice called me up and said, is this Chuck? I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I visited you about 8 years ago at that time. She goes, you put me on the mailing list. I've been getting your bulletin. I think I'm not a Christian. Can we study? It took 7 years of getting that bulletin. And I tell people when it comes to spreading the gospel, this isn't immediate stuff. It's long-term stuff. Keep at it. Keep preaching. I mean, we did the TV for years before people started. Because I know when we first got on there, they're going, oh, another fly-by-night trip. They'll be gone after a year or two. We're not going anywhere. This church isn't going anywhere. This church is going to spread the gospel in this area. Mark 16, or Matthew chapter 9, I'll get it yet. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Going, making disciples of all nations. This is why we do this. You know, there's places now that you'll find out when the preacher being told, now listen, at the end of services, don't give an invitation anymore. To places. You know, we don't need that anymore. Are you kidding me? You want to make sure that people have those opportunities, let them know that we're interested. And we'll talk about that. And I tell you, moms and dads, when you're with your kids, you talk about that. You know, I'm looking for, you know, it's another sermon about people thinking they got to baptize their young kids. You know, they're 4 or 5 and they're rolling around under the pews. Look, they're not born in sin. Don't worry about that. But here's my point. Is you talk about that. We got young kids, you know, they're not at that age. But, you know, man, I look forward to the day you become a Christian. You just plant that seed. The whole goal is we want the kids to do it for the right reason, not for mom and dad. You want that. And we have to preach on this stuff. You know, I had this young couple. They just had a baby yesterday. Kayla had their first baby, and Dustin, they came, and I held a meeting where Dustin was raised, and he was a member there, and he met Kayla, and she became a member there, and so we're preaching on this stuff, and one day they called me up, and they say, Chuck, can we come over? And I said, come on over. Kayla goes, I haven't been baptized for remission of my sins. I got baptized to show I was already a Christian. What? It's a good thing we've been teaching on it. And I said, well, you know what you need to do? She goes, I know what I need to do. I need to do it properly and for the right reason. Nobody asked her any questions before. And so while she's in the back room with Debbie and getting we had the big bathtub. And so she was getting that ready. I'm sitting with Dustin, and Dustin goes, Chuck, what? I go, you know, I remember when I was baptized, I did it because my friends did. So I only got wet. Well, let's fix that. See, the whole point is, where are we getting this from? Because we're talking about it. It's important. And we want you to know. We want you to go to heaven. You know what it means when you become a Christian? What we've been talking about tonight. You become a part of the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. That's why He came. He wants you to, you know, that's what it means the called out. He wants to call you out of darkness. Come into the kingdom of His dear Son. And brethren, value what you have. Value your brothers and sisters. Look around. They need encouragement. You've had a bad day. They've had a bad day. You help each other. That's the cool thing about it. Ask to pray for one another. Well, brethren will do that chuck and that shot in the arm. Can you mention I need the prayers of someone? I need prayers? Okay. And brethren are very understanding. The guy who preached for me tonight, I was in a gospel meeting 3 weeks ago. He was supposed to preach that night. He couldn't do it emotionally. He just couldn't do it. He's been going through some struggles. Not in sin, but he's just been going through some hard times. And so we've been getting together. We've been studying. We've been getting stronger. He preached tonight. He did it. He was able to do it. We're a family. And so if you need the prayers of the congregation, let us know. You're having hardships. Don't keep it to yourself. We're all there. We've all been there, and we're all there. And if you're not a Christian, I certainly want to encourage you, because I want you to know something. That's why Jesus went to the cross and died. He wants you to go to heaven. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, we've talked about that. This church is going to remain pure. And just coming through the doors doesn't make everything right. You need to be restored on the Lord's terms. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. If we can be a help to you in any way, please come forward. Take it from you and let it be known as we stand together and sing the song that was announced.